Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, listeners, and welcome to another edition of What Is With Murph. Today on the show, we welcome a super talented singer-songwriter, Madison Kozak. We'll talk with Madison about her career, music, and anything that she's working on that she can talk about. And I've got my buddy Craig with me. Hey, Craig, what's up, dude?
Hey, Cody, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. It doesn't look like our guest is called in yet, so we'll just keep it here and wait for her to call in. So, what have you been up to since I believe Saturday?
Since I called on Saturday, I went to a Seder, celebrated Passover. Sunday, I did a lot of Uber driving, and it was a lot of short rides, but a lot. I did 16 rides on Sunday, so I was exhausted when I went to bed on Monday. Yesterday, I saw Lindsay L. at the Built Institute, and she did a live podcast of it where she was interviewed, and then she sang three songs, which is terrific. And I got to ask her a question that was televised live. So it's always fantastic to see Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
What have you been
cool.
up to?
Last night, I watched, as I was telling you off air, I watched a men's NCAA championship game, which was a snooze fest.
What happened was Michigan was doing very well in the beginning with their defense, but once Villanova
mm-hmm.
started getting it going,
mm-hmm.
then Michigan wasn't able to answer.
True, but I will tell you this too. I watched a replay of the entire women's NCAA championship game beforehand, and that was one of the greatest women's games I've ever seen.
That's funny. The women's game was more exciting than the men's game.
It really was because there was literally a last second three to win the game. So
wow. Who won the tournament? Notre Dame?
Notre Dame beat Michigan State. Mississippi State. I think 62-59 or something like that. It was really close.
Wow. What's fun, you know, the men's tournament was very exciting till a deal for the most the Elite Eight. Bill, I mean, that's when the game started becoming non-competitive and one-sided.
True, I agree completely. I did not watch Tennessee's games at all because, frankly, and I know I'm from Tennessee, but Tennessee completely sucked at basketball. I'm not going to lie to you.
Tennessee didn't stink at basketball. They were in the top 25.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a miracle that they got in, to be honest with you. Because it was Tennessee's always historically stunk at basketball, but football not so much until recent years. So,
Tennessee was good last year when they had Josh Dobbs as the quarterback, but then when they lost NFL, then Tennessee did not become competitive.
Yeah, and I think with this new coach coming in for Tennessee, I think he's going to turn that program around.
Oh, do you know who the coach is going to be?
Greg Pruitt, a former Alabama defensive coordinator.
Well, if you're coming from Alabama and you were a defensive coordinator there, you know you're going to ramp that defense up.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, it's not the defense that Tennessee lacked in last year. It was their offensive production to me.
No, they didn't do well offensively.
True.
Oh, boy. Oh, wait a minute. Oh. What, Madison? Okay, I just got a text from Madison. Madison thought that we were going to be calling her.
Actually, I had tweeted her the call-in number, so I don't know if she got it or not, but I tweeted Madison the call-in number.
And also on the email, when we confirmed it,
mm-hmm.
the mm-hmm. call-in number was in
the
subject
email.
Line.
Yeah. We'll just wait and stick around until she calls.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, this. Speaking of the NCAA tournament, this NCAA tournament was probably the wildest tournament I've seen in years.
Yes, I agree. There were so many upsets, and especially with the number one seed in the entire tournament being knocked out by the 16th seed, which has never happened at all.
First time that's ever happened. Which, I mean, that was, to me, that was what made this tournament, because it's never been done before. A 16th never beaten a 1. So that's what made the tournament what it was to me.
Agreed. And they didn't just beat them. They won easily.
They whooped them. Absolutely. They whooped them.
Yeah. That's surprising that they were beaten so bad.
I agree. But anyway.
Okay, so Madison just told me she's going to be calling in 2 minutes.
All righty. That sounds good. That sounds pretty good.
Okay, I'll talk to you afterwards. After the broadcast is over, I'll ask you something.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. I believe this is Madison. Hold on 1 minute.
Hello.
Hey, Madison. How are you?
Hello, Madison. Is this Craig?
This is Cody. I'm Craig, and Cody is on the line, too, as the host.
Awesome. Yep. So excited, y'all.
We're excited, too, Madison.
Yes, I'm sorry for the wait.
Not a problem. But thank you for doing this today.
Of course. Thank you for having me. It's good to be speaking with you guys.
Absolutely. So, I caught your last Song Suffragette show online a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And I've got to say, you have probably one of the best voices in the business.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
Yes. I saw you at the last year's Song Suffragette anniversary show right after CMA Fest Madison. That's when I heard you for the first time. And once I did, I was very grateful to have been one of the people to have seen you up close. And then since then, I've wanted you to be a guest on the show. And today, here we are. So this show is almost 10 months in the making.
Wow, exactly. Amazing. So cool.
That's awesome.
Yes.
So, before we get into things today, I've got two questions for you. They're not exactly questions, but just kind of introduce yourself and tell the listeners how you got into music in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as Craig and Cody were saying, my name is Madison Kozak, and I'm originally from Ontario, Canada, a little town called Lindsay that is 2 hours northeast, so lots of
as
snow
Lindsay,
up there.
As in Lindsay L? I'm sorry, you said Lindsay. Lindsay L is also from Canada. That's why also I said that.
Yes, well, the name of the town is Lindsay. I think she's from a different part of Canada, but that is a funny coincidence. And I grew up surrounded by country music. I come from a big family. I'm one of eight kids. And growing up, I just always remember there being a guitar in, you know, any given room at any time in the house. My dad was really influenced by classic country music, and I was a daddy's girl, so naturally I listened to everything that dad listened to. So it was a lot of, 60s and 70s country, anything from Hank Williams Sr., Johnny Cash, Loretta Lynn, Patsy Cline, Dolly Parton, a lot of that good stuff, traditional, you know, Opry sound, and just immediately fell in love with it and started, you know, playing every fair and festival and country jamboree, you know, retirement home, anywhere that I could get in and share some country music with people was where I wanted to be. Sort of, I'd say it's kind of like how, you know, a son and father or mother and daughter might be out on the, you know, weekends traveling from hockey tournaments in Canada. My dad and I were traveling to all these fairs and festivals. So that's what we were up to. And didn't really have much else to do up there because it, you know, freezing cold for 7 or 8 months out of the year, it feels like. And finally found my way to Nashville. I mean, all arrows were pointing to Nashville. All of my heroes, their careers stemmed from this music city. So I knew I had to get down here and signed a management deal in Nashville when I was 14. So I made the move, somehow convinced my parents to let me move down here in the middle of high school. They've been super supportive from the beginning, and just started working on development and songwriting and just growing as an artist here in Nashville, and graduated high school, took a gap year, and then found my way to Belmont University, which is the college that I'm currently attending, and studying music business there and just trying to get connected everywhere I can to grow as a songwriter and artist, just learn, be a student to the music industry, and have fun while doing it. So that kind of brings you up to speed to where I'm at now.
Yes. My question, Madison, is how were you able to work it out to join Song Suffragette, and how long have you been playing with them for?
Gosh, I think it's been 2 years at least, I want to say, of playing with the Song Suffragette. My previous manager knew Todd, who kind of, you know, spearheads the Song Suffragette movement. And
Cassidy, right?
Yes, Todd Cassidy. So went into their office on Music Row one day, shared some songs with them, and then got the invite, which is super exciting to me because I had been to some of the very first Song Suffragette shows, like when Carly Pierce had played it and Kelsey Ballerini, when it was in the small, like, back room at Third and Lindsley. So it was a very special thing to get that invite to join the Song Suffragettes.
That is awesome. You know,
yes.
And speaking of Song Suffragettes, I've been a fan of you guys for the past, like, a year or so, and I have so much respect for what you guys are doing in the music industry.
Yeah, I same me to all my fellow Song Suffragettes. They inspire me so much, and it's so awesome to have that community. It's scary, you know, moving here at a young age and being a female in this town, and you know, just being so new, it's very comforting to have a group of girls that you've all just got so many commonalities and a place to feel safe and at home.
You know, and also, one of the goals of this radio show is not only bringing incredibly talented people like yourself home for an interview, but I also host a indie country radio show every Friday at 4:30, and I will do everything in my power to get you guys heard.
Aw, well, we so appreciate that, because without you, we wouldn't be creating music, you know?
Right. I wanted to touch on a little bit, and I've got a couple of stories about my time in Canada. I've been to Canada three times. Okay. I've been there three times. Vancouver, Toronto, and Niagara Falls. And,
cool. Go ahead.
And every time I've been to Canada, the people are just some of the nicest, warmest people I believe I've ever met in my entire life.
Aw, I love that. Yeah, there are some good people up there for sure. Maybe it's because we gotta stay warm in the winter, so you just always bring your best smiles and are super friendly. Maybe, I'm not really sure.
Possibly, but something that did kind of throw me though, because coming from the U.S., you know, I was at a Blue Jays baseball game, and something I knew, but I didn't really know, if that makes any sense, is the hotel inside the stadium, which is cool, by the way, which is one of the coolest things I believe I've ever seen, a hotel inside of a baseball stadium. But there was a guy there, a fan who had this sign, and this was kind of my culture shock moment. It said, I'm going to forget the player's name, but it said so-and-so for a prime minister. So I was like, okay, that's kind of interesting, because, you know, obviously in the States we have a president, obviously. So when I saw prime minister, I was like, that's kind of a culture shock right there for me.
Yeah, they do things a little different, but I kind of like to think of Canada as, or the U.S. vice versa, as like we're like friendly cousins, you know?
Exactly. Our,
got a lot of commonality.
Big brothers to the north.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh.
You know, and the food. Oh my goodness, the food in Canada is incredible.
Really?
So
I feel like it's pretty similar to the U.S. I don't know. There's something about Southern cooking that sounds pretty good to me.
Southern cooking is great, but I mean, I was at a Blue Jays. I was at that game, and I got poutine. Now,
for
anybody out there that does not know what a poutine is, let me break it down for you, okay? French fries, brown gravy, and cheese curds. The best thing I've ever ate in my entire life.
Pretty dang delicious.
It is.
I miss it a lot.
I have not sampled
any Canadian cuisine other than Canadian bacon, McDonald's, and I don't think you could count that, but you are making me very hungry, eager to go.
A McDonald's Canadian bacon, no. Craig, if you ever do make it up to Canada, order yourself some poutine. You will thank this later, trust me. You will thank me later.
Yep.
But anyway, I've got some kind of fun, get to know you questions if you're okay with it.
Awesome.
Okay. So if you weren't in the music business, what would you be doing after college? What would you do?
Woo, that's kind of a tough question because I've always been a plan A kind of girl. But both my parents are in real estate. They are business coaches. And I feel like I got a lot of my confidence and drive from them growing up. I always remember, like, hopping in the car and hearing their, like, tapes that were playing, you know, that were, like, mindset tapes. So, like, adjusting your mindset and how to kind of just drive yourself into positivity and obviously how to sell. And I feel like to an extent that's what I do as a songwriter is I'm just trying to sell my songs. So probably be sticking with the family business. If I wasn't doing music, I'd probably be selling real estate or, you know, coaching business like my parents do, just because I love being around people. You know, I'm such a people person, and so to just be around others all the time and helping to motivate people like my parents, you know, do is sounds cool to me. Fun.
Awesome.
That does sound cool, as you said it.
Yeah, it does. I have not asked this question in months, so I'm bringing it back out of retirement just for you. with the invention of social media and the way it is today, do you think it's easier now for people to be noticed by not just the music industry, but the entertainment entertainment industry as a whole than it was say 20 or 30 years ago?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, growing up in a super small town, you know, 30 years ago and trying to, you know, get your foot in the door in any sort of industry would have been impossible unless you were there playing the game, you know, unless you had moved to a big city. And now they make it possible for everyone, no matter where you live or, you know, what your social or economic standpoint is. I think it kind of evens the playing field a little bit, and it's not just like who's got necessarily the means to get to a big city like Nashville or LA or New York, but just who's got some talent.
Awesome.
Madison, this is Craig. I wanted to ask you, when will you be graduating Belmont? What are your intentions to do for your career after Belmont? If it's not singer songwriting, and do you think you'll be touring New York, areas like New York, New Jersey in the future? I know that's like three questions at one.
Well, first off, I'm studying music business and entertainment law at Belmont University, and I'll be graduating hopefully this time next year. My goal is to actually have secured a publishing deal before I graduate. I'm working hard to get there first, hopefully this summer or this fall. I'll found my team and be working towards just creating better music and getting it out there for everyone to hear. And Nashville has always felt like home to me. So I would love to get out on the road and explore new cities like New York and New Jersey and everywhere all over North America. But I definitely see myself staying here in Nashville, like living long term. And I've got a house here that I live in and love very much. Love the creative community here. So that's kind of where I see myself putting down roots. But definitely would love to get out on the road as soon as I can.
I'd love to see you in New York at the Opry stage here, where Kaylee Shaw will be at the end of the month.
Yeah. That sounds awesome.
Yep. One thing I wanted to touch on is the Nashville music community. I've asked myself this question several times with this radio show. See, I've been in radio for the past 6 years, and four full time in the music industry. But I always find myself asking myself this question: how did I get here, and what is life right now? Do you ever just stop and have one of those holy crap, this is my life right now moments?
Every second of every day, it feels like. especially in the last couple weeks. I mean, things have been picking up, definitely, for sure, and I've been fortunate to kind of get my foot in some new doors here in Nashville and just meeting, you know, exciting new writers and music industry veterans, and I've got some co-writes coming up with some of my dream co-writers, so to think that, you know, this is all starting to come into fruition after 7 years of living here, but probably 10 or 12 years of dreaming this dream is so exciting, and it's rewarding, and feels like it makes all the trials worth it. You know, it was very difficult moving away at 800 miles away from home, and definitely a lot of things you forego and give up to make this dream work. So I'm just so grateful that for the times that it makes it feel worth it like this. And getting out and performing is just as rewarding, you know?
And I'll tell you this. Of course, I only live about maybe 2.5 hours outside of Nashville. I've got family that lives about maybe 15 minutes outside the city. So I tend to go pretty much every chance I possibly get. It's one of my absolute favorite cities in this world, and you'll probably agree with me on this, but I've found that the music community there in Nashville is some of the most genuine people that you'll ever meet in your entire life.
Oh, for sure. Nashville and country music community in general is different from any other genre, for sure. Special.
I mean, I understand it. I get it that there's a sharks in the business. People I'm not in the business for necessarily the right reasons, but I venture to say that 85 to 90% of the Nashville music community are genuinely good, approachable people.
Yeah, I mean, I can't fact check that for you, but it sounds pretty accurate.
But okay, so kind of on that same note, being a creative person. What inspires or motivates you?
Whew, that's a good question. Honestly, I feel like there's a pretty good mix of things. One would just be the people I'm surrounded by. As a creative, constantly looking for inspiration, and so naturally that's going to come from your surroundings. So some of my best friends, if they're going through something and I'm that shoulder that they need to lean on, as much as I'm like trying to help them and sort through and want them to feel, you know, better with whatever it is they're going through, I'm also kind of taking note, you know, like, what kind of song can I turn this into, you know? And the reason I do that is so that I can write that song and hopefully other people can relate and not feel so alone. So definitely the people that I surround myself with would be the number one thing that I'm inspired by. Two would be other creatives and music and art in general. I love listening to new music and being inspired by other artists. I've been influenced by so many over the years, and it's all so inspiring to me, just art in general.
Probably the best quote that I've ever heard about a creative people is this. Normal people want their scars to heal. A creative people, on the other hand, want to stick their thumb in it and twirl it around and make it hurt a little bit more.
That's amazing. That's very accurate.
I don't know where that quote came from. I have no idea, but it just randomly popped into my head.
That's hilarious.
Madison, I wanted to ask you, who would you be interested in collaborating with in the next few years as you continue to write songs?
Wow. Well, naturally, being a songwriter in Music City, I'm inspired by a lot of other songwriters in this town who probably don't get as much credit because they're not necessarily on the radio, but they're behind the songs on the radio. So I am an intern at a publishing company right now called Creative Nation, and I have a lot of respect for each and every one of their artists and writers, songwriters in the business. So there, I really look up to Natalie Hemby and Lori McKenna a lot, as well as Luke Laird. I think it would be a dream come true to get in the room with them one day. On the artist front, I've always admired Sheryl Crow. I love the work that she does. I love Little Big Town and their style of music. I think they've got really good taste in music and songwriters and lyrics. Also, I love the vibe that Brothers Osborne bring. I think they do a really cool job at blending, old country with the new and just making it feel homey and groovy. Same with like Chris Stapleton having so many old school classic influences. I love bringing a traditional influence back into country music.
Yes, that's a large variety too.
Yeah.
The riff part.
I'm a big fan of artist interviews, which is probably why I got into radio and why I'm doing this right now. But I will listen to pretty much anything or pretty much any artist interview ever. So I was watching a Dan Rather one time interview Kid Rock, and they asked him this question, and I'm going to ask you. When everything is said and done with your music career, and you've won tons of major awards, which is going to happen for you, what's one thing that you want to be remembered for as an artist?
Oof. Wow. Well, the songwriter in me wants to say that my lyrics will be remembered. I love using creativity to be a storyteller and to just create a sense of belonging through music. I think I look up to a lot of my heroes growing up, people like Loretta Lynn, Shania Twain, Dick Sticks, and they made me feel just so happy and inspired and strong. And I think at the end of the day, I do this to empower people and to create a sense of belonging and togetherness for sure.
I'll say this now, and I'll probably say it again in about 10 minutes at the end of the show, but I have so much respect for you. Not only as an artist, but just from the last 30 minutes or so of talking to you, I have a ton of respect for you now as a person.
Wow! Thank you.
Yes, you are very mature and savvy, and also want to be able to share all of the attributes that you learned in Nashville and growing up with all of the people that listen to your music and see you in person.
Exactly.
And a lot of people, you're going to increase your fan base tremendously over the next few years. Yes.
I agree.
Well,
totally.
Thank you. I am so grateful for that.
And if there's ever anything that we can do for you on the show, whatever it is, don't ever hesitate to reach out.
Thank you. I can't wait to share some new music with you guys. You'll be some of the first to hear for sure when it's ready.
Awesome. And I'll definitely play it on the show for you.
I would love that.
Yes. Madison, I wanted to ask you, do you see yourself performing at Song Suffragette during CMA Fest this year or another show possibly?
I am not sure yet. It's also kind of up in the air, but I would love that. If that opportunity came into play, I would say, hell yeah.
I really hope you do, Madison. I definitely want to see you again.
Yeah, next time you guys are in Nashville, definitely feel free to reach out. Can't wait to share new music with you guys. Thank you so much.
I'd
love to.
Speaking of Songs to Forget in Nashville, I will actually be coming to my first ever Songs to Forget show May 7th. So.
Oh, you're coming up on your 1-year anniversary.
I'm coming up to a show, a Song Suffragette show on May 7th. So I'll be at Song Suffragette that night.
Awesome. Well, that's awesome. Unfortunately, I have to run to a night class at Belmont. Go figure. I'm trying to balance a million things today, but this has been so fun talking with you all.
I understand.
Been the highlight of my day, and I would way rather be doing this than, you know, taking a sociology class that's going to last 4 hours.
Class? I don't envy you, Madison.
Yeah,
I majored in sociology. So I understand where you're coming from. I majored in sociology myself, so I understand that completely.
Wow.
I majored in accounting a little bit off, but I know when I took a similar course to sociology, the only thing I socialized with was my Z's, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Well, hey, thank you for taking about 30 minutes out of your day to come on and do this. This has been so much fun.
Of course. Thank you, guys, and hope to be chatting again soon.
I hope so, Madison. It was a fabulous interview.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
You've got a open invitation back to the show anytime you want to come back on.
Thank you. I will definitely take you back up on that. You guys have a great rest of your week.
You too, Madison.
Absolutely.
Take care.
Have a good
one. You too.
Bye-bye.
That was so much fun.
Oh, boy. She has so much to say, so much. She has so many ideas that she wants to express in her songs. She has so much to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Half hour wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
And she's probably done more socializing with us than she will during our whole 4 hour sociology class.
Possibly. But yeah, I mean, that was fun. I'm not going to lie. That was awesome.
I'm glad that we had the opportunity to speak to Madison. It was a great 30-35 minute conversation.
so much, so many laughs. Oh my God.
Yes.
I've probably not laughed that much in I don't know how long.
I don't, even though she's going to college, she seems she's a lot more mature for her age.
I agree completely. From her social media, Twitter and Facebook and stuff, I thought she was a lot older than a college age kid.
I thought she was 21, 22. I didn't think she was in her teens. I thought she was a few more years older than her being.
Yeah, I thought she was mid-20s, but whatever.
Really? Well, you know what? I just said to her, I thought she was 21, 22. She is. If she's graduating next year, that's exactly what she is.
Exactly. But I thought she was mid-20s, but whatever. So, what's coming up tomorrow, buddy?
Tomorrow is a fabulous interview with the one and only Jenny Tolman, whose song Something to Complain About is fabulous, and it is number
nothing
two.
To complain about.
Yes, there's nothing to complain about that song. It's except it's number two
on
the MC12 back. Is what?
Your references are rubbing off on me, buddy.
It's becoming a part of you, and you don't even realize it until you say it.
It's sinking into my brain at this point.
Yes, but it's pretty soon. You know what? Pretty soon you're gonna have me saying all the time, "That was so much fun."
Probably,
and then when somebody asks
so.
Me. Yes, and when somebody asks me, how do you think of this person, I'm going to say, he's a good dude.
That was so much fun.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So, we've got that Wednesday, and what else is coming up for us?
I think next week we have all right, hold on one second.
Sarah Ellen Thomas, I believe, next week.
Next Tuesday we have Carrie Cunningham on the 10th, and then we have from CMT Music City the lovely Sarah Ann Thomas, Ellen Thomas.
That's going
to
be fun.
Yes.
I cannot wait for those two
shows. Have some solid interviews coming up.
Yes, we do. So I think I'm gonna let you go and kind of wrap things up here, okay, bud?
Sounds good. Talk to you tomorrow, Cody. Have a good night.
All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow, dude.
Yeah.
Well, hope you guys enjoyed our interview with the lovely Miss Madison Kozak. As Craig said, tomorrow at 4:30 Central, we have the super talented Miss Jenny Tolman joining us, and the next Tuesday at 4:30 Central, we have the equally as lovely Miss Carrie Cunningham with us, and next Wednesday, also at 4:30 Central, we have from CMT's Music City, we have an incredibly talented Miss. Sarah Ellen Thomas with us. So I think with that, I think I'm going to end the episode right here, since you've already heard all the announcements. You've been listening to Quick Biz with Murph. Thank you and goodbye.